This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 591. It's our New York Comic Con 2018 recap, because the Hasbro press event for New York Comic Con has just wrapped up today. So we got to see a lot of new Transformers stuff, which we're almost excited about.
I think we're tangentially adjacent to excited, maybe.
Ups and downs. So we are streaming on a Thursday night this week, which means Brian Kilby could not be here with us, but in his place I'm hosting, which means this will take forever.
Yay, extra content.
Woo. Make sure you write this down. You're gonna have to send Kilby the bill.
Yeah, definitely, Bill Kilby, for your time that I'm going to waste for you tonight. That's absolutely a thing you should do. I wholeheartedly encourage this plan.
But maybe not, because I did scratch Massey's belly earlier, so you may get an extra delayed Massey attack. So stay tuned. You never know.
Yeah, Don's really tempting fate with that cat tonight. Because I understand in pre-show, Massey actually tried to lay down on Don's feet, and for some strange reason, Don, like, shooed him away, so that's just going to, like, really antagonize him.
Because it's hot in the apartment.
Why are you talking to that cat, Don?
Because it's hot in the apartment, and his fuzzy little body makes my feet hot, and it's uncomfortable.
Okay, but you should think of others before yourself, Don.
So selfish.
He lives rent-free. All the free food.
No, Don. You get the privilege of paying for his housing.
That's how. Oh, it works. Is that? Oh, I've been looking at it wrong this whole. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, Don.
Jeez, I'm friends y'all are.
So tonight, Jason is producing for us. Diecast has been at the New York Comic Con event all day today, and he's rushed his way back home to be here. Matt is joining us this week after being sadly absent last week for, you know, intense malaise. And of course, you've heard Don antagonizing his cat, and we're joined by Eric, who is filling space for us tonight.
That's my only purpose.
Yeah, he didn't feel like chicken tonight, so.
Eric Chicken College Crown over.
Yep.
All right. Let's jump right into the New York Comic Con stuff, because we've got a fair little bit to talk about here. And then a couple things I'm interested in talking about after that, too. So we've got a reasonably packed show this week, as we should for an event weekend.
For a change.
Yeah, I know, right? So, Diecast, why don't you talk to us about the Hasbro panel reveals from today?
Oh, sure. I mean, most of the stuff you can go on tfradio.net or our Twitter page at tfradio.
At tfradio.
And Twitter.com. I was up before 5 to jump on the train to go to New York. They had a really nice diorama with some Transformers figure set up on it that we'll talk about. And I do have to thank Hasbro for, I got some swag while I was there. I got some posters, which we tweeted out, some really nice images of, and it's a new company doing the promotional images for them. They did tell us that. And I got a really nice swag bag for as usual. And I got a Venom.
Better than the movie.
Got a Bumblebee.
Haven't seen the movie.
I got a Marvel doll for Don.
Okay, that's a Daisy Quake from S.H.I.E.L.D., I believe.
Yes.
Is that it?
Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And I got a Star Wars figure.
Okay, but where's Rey?
I know, that's a joke. Oh, you want another Rey? Here, I got another Ray for you. Yeah.
There you go. There's
Ray. Well, Diecast, you're just a ray of sunshine tonight.
And then there's some sort of stand out together. Marvel Rising.
Oh yeah, that's all their young heroes together in a new book or series, I believe.
Anything that says Hasbro Pulse.
But how long until the New Warriors or Avengers Academy the mauled on?
I know that's why I'm not. That's why I'm not getting really excited about this, because they'll do just that. They'll blow them up or kill them or forget about them.
So again, I have to thank Hasbro for that stuff, because that's really cool. And but yeah, I guess we can just go on to the news and I'll talk through what I saw when we come up to those points.
Well, I think the first thing we should talk about here is that we did get our Titan tease. And I think all of our hashtag warfare really did work out for us over the past year, because it wasn't Unicron.
There's still hope.
Hashtag warfare.
There's still hope.
There might be hope, but probably not until 2020 or 2021.
Yep.
Or HasLab, if that would happen.
So not until 2020 or 2021.
Yep. Yeah. It's like we said in pre-show, the barge needs to get done. The barge will probably get done first before they...
When's the barge supposed to get done?
We don't exactly know, I don't think.
Okay.
Because they probably also don't know exactly.
I would say that they did not confirm this is Omega Supreme.
No, they just showed a component that's half of Omega Supreme.
It could be a Guardian.
A Guardian doesn't have near the marketability as they wouldn't make generic drone number one a Titan.
Hey, I'm just pointing out that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I was reflecting on this on Twitter earlier, too. Like, Omega Supreme is something that has established, like, significant redecos. But even if they wanted to do an Omega Sentinel, I think we are well past the point now where even SDCC would be considered a viable outlet for Titan-class redeco of any kind. I think we're past the point of getting exclusive Titans as convention fodder.
Fortress Maximus was the last one we got, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Trypticon, there wasn't much they could do with him.
There really wasn't. I mean, and Predaking, they could do like, up accessory version or something.
Yeah, they could have given him a sword.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, like Max style,
Fortress Maximus.
Pretty paint and a sword.
Yeah.
And maybe Chrome a la Devastator.
But I really think Hasbro at this point is trying to focus more on stuff at lower price points for their convention stuff to make sure that it moves and they get their money back out of it within a reasonable time frame. Because that's sadly always kind of hit and miss, and I think the SDCC Fortress Maximus kind of hung around for a little while.
Yes, well, smaller items at a more reasonable price point that they can move more of, you know. Yeah. Makes sense.
And as a poor person, I appreciate this approach, just throwing that out there.
More things that are easier to buy.
Yeah, and also things that are easier to store in the long run, because I mean, you know, extraneous Titans do kind of end up taking up space.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we got to see the tank component of Omega Supreme, or, you know, mysterious Sentinel X, whatever.
Hasbro's going to surprise us all. It's going to be Omega Supreme.
I think it was mentioned that it comes with MicroMaster Countdown exclusively.
Yes. So he actually fits inside the tank.
That actually makes me hopeful that they are going to maybe lean into the playset aspect of Omega Supreme a little bit more as they're designing this toy. Because, I mean, Omega Supreme's rocket base always has been a really cool looking like set piece. And I'd really like if they kind of take advantage of that and give some play features for the smaller toys. Yeah. Well, I mean, Trypticon had a really good base mode like that, too. So I'd like to see that practice continue. Fortress Maximus was kind of just... sitting there.
Wouldn't that be cool if it has a motor and it'll actually go around the track?
That would be cool. I'm not expecting it, but that would be cool.
I mean, they didn't let us see the tank because we had our event after the live stream, or after the event where they announced the tank, and they didn't let us see it. So I almost wonder if there's something special going on with that.
Well,
they didn't
know about.
The Titan price point is already, what, $160, $170? Yeah. I don't think they're going to needlessly add to the price by adding mechanics
yeah.
to it.
And
not that I wouldn't love to see that.
Although, if you think about it, if they take the weaponizer toy approach with this and kind of sidestep like integral transformation, that would probably free up some of their engineering budget to go into different features in the toy. Because like there would be an expectation with Omega Supreme that, yeah, you're going to have to kind of build up the robot mode rather than it being a perfect conversion between any of the parts and the robot mode.
Yeah, he is a parts former. So, yeah.
But I mean, when you've got a line that's now including MicroMasters, not having that base functionality sort of shoots a hole in your play pattern right there.
Yeah, no, I mean, they can totally have the base mode no matter what. Like, the motor thing or the parts forming thing wouldn't preclude that in any way. The motor would pretty much add to it because you could put Countdown or somebody on that tank and have it drive around that track and, you know, make him dizzy.
Well, Chris, let me ask you this. From a call standpoint, what if they put like a friction motor, not a battery power motor, just put a friction motor that you could rev and then place on the tread? Wouldn't that could be a cheaper alternative, and they could put maybe like an activator switch. So when you put Countdown in the thing, it could release the friction motor and it would drive around the tread. So that way you could get both.
I like the idea, but I honestly think that an electric motor would probably be less mechanically complicated to make happen and therefore would actually cost less.
Okay.
Only thing that makes me think about that actually popped it into my head about the motor is look how high up those tank treads are sitting. I mean, maybe that's just because it's got to go on the track and you manually have to push it around, but or it that looks just, like that those treads are awful high up.
Well, that could just be where, like, instead of putting wheels on the bottom of the treads, there could just be a block that's wheels underneath it, and that block comes off to do something else.
Yeah, but most Transformers, they're going to get minimal clearance between the treads and the wheels for height, and this has a lot of height between the actual,
But if they're free-rolling wheels, you might can push, and if the track is high enough to keep the wheels contained within the track, it could be freewheeling enough that you can push it really hard and it will stay mostly in the track as a freewheeling thing.
Like a really big Hot Wheels.
Kinda.
Okay, now I just want like an Omega Supreme loop track set.
Yeah. Oh, nice. I'd love that.
Actually, that would be a really cool kind of thing if they wanted to do a Hot Wheels style thing again. Like, you know, make some like little mini Omega Supreme rocket base thing where the tank is the car and you have the rocket base stuff and the tracks as the rest of the elements. Like, that would actually be really cool looking. Yep. Hasbro should totally do a little Matchbox car kind of thing. Maybe if they buy Mattel at some point. Okay, so let's talk about some of the reveals we had today. IGN was our major news outlet that got the first promo photos out of several of the toys. And boy, did that mostly just disinterest me.
I must say, the promo images are not as good as the actual toys in person.
I will support that as far as saying that the photos that you and other people took of the toys looked much better than the promo renders that they put out.
Agreed. Yeah.
I can't say what they actually looked like in person, but the photos did look much better.
Oh, yeah.
They did a better job of selling the toys. At the same time, though, I'm not super pleased with everything I saw.
Okay.
Diecast, you were there. You got to see Megatron and Soundwave and Refractor and Starscream in person. What did you think of those toys, seeing the actual prototypes there?
I really liked them. I'm not big on Optimus Prime's vehicle mode. Optimus Prime and Megatron are kind of, you know, they have to be there. They're Wave 1. They are in scale to each other, which is nice. So they were okay. Everything else kind of really excited me. The Tetrajet was a little surprising. Just the look of it. I didn't expect
that's,
it's like
that's no, one it's word for
weird.
It.
Actually, it's two words: Colonial Viper.
I was thinking,
that's basically a Colonial Viper from Battlestar Galactica. I'm sorry.
Ish. I was thinking elephant jet is kind of the way
maybe
I was
not
looking
elephant,
at it.
But like you know a tapir or something.
Yeah. But the robot mode's very nice. Same with the refractor was a surprise.
Yeah.
It's a deluxe figure and it's going to be, you know, so if you want to make the camera,
it's a big
you have
camera.
To get what?
So it's a big camera.
It's too, a big it's camera. You have to get three of them. So there's $60 right there just to get the camera if you want to do that, which most of us G1ers would want to do.
Now watch it only ship one per case.
No, they did say
they
were
said
gonna,
that they're gonna get it out there for sure. So
they're gonna do whatever they can.
They say that about things in every line, and then we have Cogman.
Which what I would assume is means it'll probably be two per case on the first, if they're doing even case waves, it'll be two per case, and then maybe they'll throw it in another following wave.
It'd be smart if they did it in the, because typically we have one wave that'll be three deluxes. If they did it in the three deluxe wave, and since there's more space in the case of eight when you only have three, triple pack it.
Well, they could totally do that we'll as see. Part of the final wave. They can just hold mm-hmm. reflect back into the last wave of the line and then put all three of them in there, and then no one will ever see it at all.
Yeah. If okay. they're still,
we saw Slugslinger. Like I didn't think Slugslinger was too hard to find at the end of Titans Eternal.
He wasn't.
It was Misfire, the wave before him that nobody ever saw.
I couldn't find
then,
either.
So
of
then
waves.
Definitely put him in the last wave where there's only one new figure because then he will show up. Yeah. Just don't put him in the second to last wave.
Okay, now I'm playing catch up because I was offline most of the day. It takes three of these to make the camera mode.
Yeah.
But each one does have the flying slab of satellite.
It's like a
thing.
Gun yes. type thing. Yeah, okay. It's some kind of
submarine
like gunboat thing.
It's a submarine.
Yes, it's a submarine boat. Because we can't have guns anymore.
Okay, that's
The reflectors do have an alt mode individually. If you want to call it that, it is basically just the robot lying down.
Which is basically about what they did for Primal.
But a neat detail is that there is the lens aperture that you can plug into the chest on whichever one of them you want to, so that you have
all of them accurate. You have the center one with the lens, and the other
I'm
two
just,
don't.
I'm trying to remember which one's name is the one.
Spyglass.
The...
Oh, it doesn't matter. Thank you.
Spyglass, Viewfinder, and
Spectro.
Spectro. Yeah, so Spyglass was the middle. I think Spectro was the one with the button on the head. I think.
Great. but like the real hit for me was Shockwave.
See,
Shockwave
I didn't really care for
really
Shockwave.
Good. Of course you didn't. I really like the way that Shockwave looks. Yeah. Like that is the Shockwave I've been waiting for since the classic line started.
Yeah,
they even had it next to the comic.
Yeah, they use what, Transformers number 5.
Yep.
All are dead.
Are all dead. Yeah. No. Common misreading.
I would say the robot mode is absolutely amazing, but the vehicle mode I don't really care for, and it's quite the parts for me.
I know that he said it doesn't have another alt mode individually for like the Voyager sized robot, but I saw several people breaking down the figure on Twitter, and it really looks like it has a submarine mode, even though they didn't say so. So I don't know if John Warren like wanted to just maybe they don't want to do the submarine thing anymore, like, and so it's just a hidden thing. But it really looks like if you take off all that armor, that Shockwave turns into a gun. But
actually, John Warden did say I think it's funny. I kind of like it that submarine mode has become a thing.
Yeah. I wasn't too hepped up on the Shockwave originally. And then I saw he basically has, because the ship mode gives me a Sky Gary kind of feel with the way those arms are. But it also looks like a ship from Stargate as well. But then he's got like a like a glider he can stand on, which is like the front part of the ship.
He's the goblin.
Yeah, he's a green goblin. And that becomes armor. So that's a
really... It looks like a really fun toy.
It does. It looks like it can be your G1 Shockwave on the shelf. It can be, you know, or it can be this new kind of Shockwave that you get. Because there's a lot of flexibility in this toy, which really surprises me from what we've seen so far.
I know. I was not expecting a General Grievous mode for my Shockwave. That was a big surprise.
Well, now you made it worse.
It looks like it has some Lego interchangeability too. The feet almost look Lego-ish in the ship mode. I'm looking at the promotional photo.
That's a weird thing to say.
Well, I don't know. It just that's kind of what just popped into my head. If you look at the feet,
well, part of the armor does peg onto the feet, so that may be where that's coming from.
A neat thing about the ship is if you see the tower there,
it's got its eye, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got the eye, and that's actually light piped, so that'll shine.
Yeah.
Since Rob's not here with us this week, I want to point out on his behalf that in addition to things Don says, he thinks the battleship mode looks like, it does look a lot like the Alexandria class from Zeta Gundam too, even down to the color.
Yeah, it's very, very Gundam-y, kind of Macross-y.
It's got that space battleship thing going on, which I dig.
It's weird, but looking at just the front of the ship, the front of the ship looks like a TIE fighter.
I can kind of see where you're getting that from.
Yeah, so I see a lot of either someone on this design team loves a bunch of science fiction shows and is putting all this stuff in there as little Easter eggs for the fans, or it's just one of them toys that's just like it can be whatever you want it to be, you know, in your imagination.
I mean, if you showed me this picture of the spacecraft mode, whatever we're calling it, and you told me we could have a G1 Shockwave out of this, I would be like, there's no way. But I guess, you know, with the parts forming and the pieces that plug on and all that stuff.
I had some trepidation when we found out this was going to be a leader class Shockwave. But like, I'm actually quite pleased with what they've pulled off here.
Because it's a Voyager Shockwave with leader armor.
Yeah, it may not be the perfect Shockwave toy necessarily, depending what you're looking for, but like, I really like what I'm seeing with this. Mm-hmm. It was the high point of those initial IGN reveals for me, easily.
I just really hope I can clean off that battle damage paint.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Shockwave's battle damage in the promo pictures doesn't look that
doesn't does not look bad. Yes. Yeah.
So I don't
some
think
of them seem to be
that much.
More, yeah, some of the decos seem to be more heavy than others. So,
like Soundwave.
Oh,
that Soundwave.
Ugh. Anyway,
what is on the chest? Like, is that a sticker? Is that paint or what? Do you know?
It's not
a sticker. That's what it is.
It'll something that'll be replaced by Toy Hacks very soon after the toy comes out.
Actually, yeah, that's a pretty good point, because they could do animation opaque blue with like white highlights thing to just stick in that space, and that would actually look better than having the transparent chest window, probably.
Let me check my phone.
I mean, you know, it's you know, I like the physical. I like the way Soundwave looks, as far as he looks strong, he looks tough, he looks physically.
Overly detailed.
Well, I'm saying as far as proportions.
Over damaged.
Yeah, it's like he looks like Soundwave physically, but from a decoration standpoint, he's way overdone.
Soundwave is not doing anything for me. I'm sorry.
You can see damage to that glass, but it's not as severe as the promo. Pictures.
Yeah, it's much more subtle in the display piece.
Yeah, so
I don't know if it would end up looking more significant if there was not like Laserbeak directly behind it. That's more my concern. Like when that chest compartment is empty, when the toy is just in its package and you're looking at it on the shelf, how is that going to end up looking then?
it's almost if all these promo pictures, the colors are more saturated, which is bringing out the battle damage.
Well, they're higher contrast too than the real thing would be in a photo.
Yeah. So, like I said, I was not that big on what we were getting, and then just being there and seeing them in person, I'm super excited about this line now. Like, I'm gonna be buying all the figures. Just where at one point I was thinking maybe I'll skip a couple, and that now it's just like nope, not skipping anything.
So we did see on that display table that you can do the lamp post kind of mode for Soundwave, but there is an actual alt mode, which I have coined the term battle slab for, which other people seem to have been fairly happy to pick up on.
It honestly looks like one of the speeders from Solo, A Star Wars Story. Like, that's actually really, really close.
I don't watch good movies.
That's not a bad movie.
It certainly is.
It's not a bad movie.
Everybody else seems to disagree with you, Eric.
No, most people that saw it didn't think it was bad, just no one saw it. There's a difference.
This is the one figure I kept saying maybe there's a way to make it into a boombox as like a fan mode, because I wouldn't
rule it out.
Yeah.
He does have tapes after all.
Yeah.
Which look way better than the Titans Return versions. Holy cow.
Yes. Yes, the tapes they do.
Are, yeah.
So those are going away. Those are getting sold at some point.
Not that it was hard to beat that Ravage.
No.
Ravage and Stripes.
Stripes is worse. Ravage is black. So you mold. Can, yeah, but Ravage, you notice it less. The color on Stripes don't help.
Because Ravage isn't searingly orange. So.
Yeah, but based on that, I have to love Stripes is the problem.
Yeah.
Imagine if it had been a good figure.
And the sad thing is, you can go out right now to most Targets and probably get a 3-pack of them, plus a really crappy Bumblebee for $30 if you really want them one more time.
Well, stay tuned for what we got this week later in the show.
Yeah, I know.
Why did they paint that Soundwave that was in the street light, the lamppost mode? Why did they paint that like black?
That was the same color as the rest of the diorama.
Yeah, that's part of the diorama.
Yeah, so that was just Easter egg thrown in there. They kept saying, you know, there's a lot of Easter eggs thrown into the diorama.
Because in More Than Meets the Eye, Eric, there's other lampposts that look like Soundwave.
Soundwave was just disguising himself as part of that.
As another lamppost, yes.
Gotcha.
So that's basically why they did that, yeah. It's neat. I mean, the good thing about this being a heavy G1 is we're getting a lot of Easter eggs that they're fun little Easter eggs to try to decipher. The downside is we're getting a whole lot of G1.
I mean, I really thought
normally that would make me happy though. So,
but it's we need to move. We need more.
Okay, I want to move forward and talk about what they added to the diorama after the panel happened, because that's when I got happy today. So let's talk about round two.
Fight.
Yeah, Liquidator Brunt, FCA.
And isn't he based off, isn't his robot mode, because he never had a robot mode before, isn't it based on Centurion?
It is based on the design of Centurion robots from the early IDW Stormbringer miniseries.
Gotcha.
So, you know, they took one cool looking design and threw it in with something else that will complete one of the other toys you might have already. And if not, you just have like this cool tank weaponizer.
I was going to say, Brunt is cool enough that you can own more than one of him. I would rather buy 3 Brunts than 3 Reflectors.
So I would like to get 1 Brunt, and then I would like them to redeco Brunt in the silver and gray, like those Centurion robots from Stormbringer, and buy a couple of those as the extras, because like those work cool in the art too, and I think they would look good as a toy.
Don? So basically turn Brunt into Tank Ore and the rest are his drones.
Kind of
along those same lines.
Effectively, yeah. We did get to see Skytread or Flywheels.
Yes.
We did end up getting confirmed that it's not like Battle Trap where it turns into two little robots, which we figured was a long shot anyway. But
I think that's for the best.
But it's compatible though. Yeah.
Yeah, it uses the same clip to hold the halves together so you can swap them.
Yep. Fly trap or battle wheels? I mean, wait. Yeah.
Battle wheels.
Yeah, that's one of the figures I'm excited for. I will absolutely definitely pick that up when it comes out.
Well, there's no battle damage on it, so of course you'll pick it up.
Just making sure you were picking up on the theme there.
Battle trap there. I'm sorry, or flywheels, I should say. I always get them mixed up. That's one of the few things that's going on my to purchase list for Siege so far.
It looks really nice. I'm excited for that. Let's see, what else do we have here?
The cassettes.
Yeah, we got to see Laserbeak and Ravage. So the Laserbeak's really cool looking. It's based on the pre-Earth Laserbeak design. And I think that turned out really well. Ravage, on the other hand, is kind of looking a little bit like the Fall of Cybertron Data Disc Ravage, for my taste.
He's at least better than that one in the Titans Return one to me. I'm not going to say he's far better, but I think he's at least better.
They did say they are going to be in the, is it the Battle Masters pack?
They're $5 each, because those are $10, right?
Yeah, they're replacing the Legends class.
Yeah, so basically you're paying $5 for a Laserbeak instead of $10.
Based on the promo, the official promo photo file names, I think these are going to be sold as Soundwave Spy Patrol.
Yes, Spy Patrol.
Oh my god.
I mean, that makes sense.
It does, but I'm thinking of the G.I. Joe line, the old Spy Patrol G.I.
Spy Troops.
Spy Troops, yeah.
I know Spy Patrol is definitely right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't reuse Spy Troops, just keep the trademark.
I mean, that's been so long ago, if they cared about that's probably lapsed effectively. I don't think they care that much. It's a G.I. Joe thing.
Yeah, some of my photos made it on the Z-Formers.
Yeah, your photos were the first ones we added, and then the ones that Jay got when he was able to upload the stuff were added into the story. So they're both there.
Awesome.
Yeah, Diecast, you did a great job today getting those photos out. I saw a ton of people retweeting the photos you posted. You had a lot of first looks at a bunch of this stuff, so you did a really good job for us out there.
Thank you.
I don't want to downplay your contribution to the coverage today at all.
Like I said, it was a really fun event. I really had a great time. I'm more excited about the figures now. And like I said, Matt, you gotta give some of these a chance.
I don't think he does.
With the battle damage, look at Hound. 100%
I mean, he'll at least see them in store, and he can decline it then. Like, he can see it in person.
Look at that Starscream. The Starscream, I mean, does not look bad.
I have looked at that Starscream, and we disagree on that point right
Yeah,
there.
Okay, so I have problems with that Starscream myself, and that was something conceptually I was fairly excited about, and nope. No.
I wasn't, because I knew it wouldn't work.
Diecast, I am not like completely out on this, because the reflectors, I actually do like. I'll pick those up. The weaponizers, Cog and Brunt FCA, and like those are on my to buy list, definitely, but it's just most of the line that I have no interest in.
Yeah.
I have to say that I at least thought Starscream looked better in the diorama than in the renders. In the renders, that was the one figure that I was just like, no.
You know, the problem with that render they showed was that it only had one leg underneath.
Yeah, and then we saw somebody's on-site picture.
Yeah, then it has two legs underneath, which is a lateral move at best.
Yeah. I was never a fan of I like the Tetrajets. I never thought they should have gone for the Tetrajets, because I knew they couldn't pull off the Tetrajets and make a good toy.
I think.
Yeah, I was never hoping for much.
I think if they had more engineering that they could throw at it, they could actually, if they had made Starscream a leader class, I think they could have pulled off the Tetrajet design really solidly, because they would be able to leverage more moving parts and get the mass shifted around in different places without having to strap legs underneath the body and have the whole robot chest as the back end.
I'm still not concerned or convinced that it could have been done.
It would have been done, but it would have been done with extra pieces that come off, just like the Shockwave and Ultraman. Like, you know, it'd be that type of thing where they have a Voyager Starscream on the inside, and then his alt mode. It's like you can either give him armor, coronation stuff, maybe, and then that stuff will then turn into the things that complete the Tetrajet to make it look like an actual Tetrajet.
Well, balls. You're probably right.
Yep. That's how they would do it. So it'd be parts forming, and then I wouldn't be as interested anyways with that. So,
yeah, I'm not into the Tetrajet so much.
I am not into it at all.
I do want to see Skywarp and Thundercracker, though. I mean, Thundercracker.
Well, there's no sign of a Skywarp yet. Like, not even in the art, I don't think.
No, and he is in the art because there's the three Seekers on over top, and it's.
Okay, but in the poster they released today, which was just the Decepticons, there is no Sky.
Yeah, in the Siege poster, the line in general, we get to see the Tetrajets up top. But yeah, the Decepticon poster, he's not in it. I'm wondering if maybe he's an exclusive somewhere or something. Yeah,
they will probably try to sell Skywarp as an exclusive, probably through Amazon or maybe Entertainment Earth, you know, since there's no Toys R Us anymore. The options are a little bit more limited. But yes. Yeah, I think if we see a Skywarp, it will be some exclusive.
Yeah, if Ratchet's an exclusive, I think it's totally fair to predict that they would complete the team but make it an exclusive Skywarp. That's a good poster. That's a really good
poster. Let's see. Well, we had some Bumblebee movie stuff a little bit, but mostly just like the action feature toys. We saw our first Blitzwing toy.
Yeah, which is a repaint of the Revenge of the Fallen Megatron Energon Igniter, colored like he is in the prequel comic to the Bumblebee movie, not like how he is in the movie. Which isn't surprising because he's what they're doing with Shatter and Dropkick is they're doing a separate toy for each alt mode. Yeah. One where it turns into a car, one where it turns into the thing. So I'm not surprised that the tank mode, they don't care about this, so they're just doing the Revenge of the Fallen Megatron with the new head, because that one doesn't matter nearly as much as the jet. The jet is clearly his primary mode. So
yeah, the other thing too is that, like, it probably was supposed to be Starscream originally, and the toy is based on that concept. So, like, it's going to be entirely different and separate and not have any hint of the tank mode aspects, because it wasn't originally meant to be a triple changer character. So they're shoehorning in like the Igniter Megatron redeco to represent the tank mode in some capacity.
Yeah. Are you saying you don't think he'll have the tank mode in the movie?
Oh, he'll probably have the tank mode in the movie because they can change the special effects much later than they can change the toy designs.
Okay. I'm
saying the toys that are designed originally to be Blitzwing were probably designed first to be a Starscream. So they're not going to have any indications of that third mode. But in the movie, they can fix it however they want or need to.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my take. Because remember, we did have an official source at one point call out the Decepticon presence in that trailer as being Starscream before all the fan sites picked up on it and repeated it. And then they took it down and made all of us pretend that it didn't happen. So I don't think that was always going to be Blitzwing. I think that was a story edition after the fact.
Which, I don't know, they could have just left it Starscream, but...
Yeah, I think it's like a marketing thing more than anything. Okay, so does anybody else want to talk about any of the new cyber pieces we saw?
Shockwave looks nice. Or Soundwave, sorry. He has, what is it, Laserbeak just kind of flies out of his chest.
Yeah. Now, one thing I was going to ask on that Blitzwing, I saw the picture before the stuff happened. Is that Blitzwing look like that's not a Megatron retool?
It is.
Okay, because that tank mode is too Megatron to be.
Yeah, it's just a retool of the Energon Igniter Megatron from Wave 1.
Okay.
Did Matthew get you while he was scared?
Yeah, slightly, but it's not too bad. It's just him. Like I said, he was panicking about something he saw out there. So, yeah, but yeah, it's not too bad. I've had worse.
We know. Yeah.
But now let me look at the Cyberverse real quick while y'all, because a lot of the stuff I'm seeing for the first time because I was playing catch up.
Now, Ben was saying that the kids really like the pop-out gimmicks that these have.
The energonic igniters?
Yeah. Yep. Or is that what we're calling these?
The movie
action toys. Attacker. Action attackers.
Oh, the okay, so you are talking about the Cyberverse ones.
Yeah, the Cyberverse. Okay. Yeah.
I kind of
by QT means focus groups.
Yeah. I kind of like the brown.
Eric, you're muted.
Kind of. And
I like Prowl, except that we know we're getting a Prowl in Siege, which is probably going to be, you know, a better action figure, a better overall toy.
Yeah.
I still like the Cyberverse Prowl, though. I like that it has the cannons as the flip-out gimmick. I thought that was nice.
Yeah, no, that, no, it's a good choice.
Yeah.
And I mean, these aren't for us. As exactly. Yeah. Even Ben said it, he was like, you know, I wouldn't mind if you buy one or two, but, you know, they're not for our market.
This is the kids' line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's you nice know, to... this is how we get kids like Eric to grow up and still like Transformers.
Even they can't be a Toys R Us. But I will say, I do like they're bringing the, apparently the ultimate class is what they're calling it. The Slips.
This is a $30 price point with the Optimus and the Megatron. The one below that with the Shockwave and Slipstream is Ultra.
Ultra. And
yeah,
now,
which is Voyager.
Yeah, and I like the looks. I want to like Slipstream more than I do.
Well, it's the first Slipstream that actually has her correct body. Every Seeker toy has been a Starscream repaint in this line so far, which is wrong because Starscream is the one Seeker that does not share a body with the rest of the Seekers. Yeah. They finally did the right Seeker body for everyone.
Well, now, we got her in Legends using the Windblade mold, right?
Nope, it was using the Starscream mold.
Okay, all right. Sorry.
Wait, do you mean...
Takara Legends.
Takara, that's a Windblade mold. Yeah. I thought you meant the Legion. Sorry, Legends Legion class. That was the Starscream for RID. I mean,
I love her colors. It's just that robot mode is just kind of.
If she has knees, I'll get her. I can't tell if she has knees or not.
Probably doesn't.
I don't think she does because that looks like that whole lower body from the hips down looks like it's just one giant chunk of plastic. That's.
I mean, Shockwave has ankle tilt, so nobody's going to beat Shockwave. The Ultra.
Yeah, Shockwave is fairly remarkable for what it features within this line.
Yeah, I kind of like the way the Bumblebee looks, but I'm not paying that money for that Bumblebee. But at least it's accurate. It looks like it's show accurate, pretty
super
much.
Super show accurate. Yeah, it's like spot on.
Yeah, it's just.
That's the Ultimate Class one, isn't it?
Yeah. And these ones that don't transform,
they totally transform, like halfway.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just give up partway through it.
Yeah, the half that transforms is fine. It's the other half. Okay, so I apologize.
Scout class, I don't really.
That's not something I can get behind.
Yeah, the other stuff, like in a frame of mind or a certain context, I can see it. Those Scout class ones, though, just not at all. I do not at all. Those don't make any sense to me, the way they did those. All right, so I think that's going to wrap up our New York Comic Con talk for this week. We may see...
Wait, did we talk about the Drift? The only studio series reveal?
Yeah.
That's later in the show notes, Eric.
We can go through that right now. It doesn't really matter as long as Jason can pull up the pictures.
It's up.
You can pre-order it right now at Entertainment Earth.
Or Big Bad Toy Store or TF Source.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a dollar more, but they also have pre-orders up at Big Bad Toy Store and TF Source.
Okay. Ah.
But I pre-ordered from Entertainment Earth because they offered a mystery Hasbro gift if you pre-ordered right away. So I'm kind of curious what that'll be.
It's a last night drift.
That would actually be really funny. Honestly, that's what it
is. It's a Cogman.
No, it's a random Dinobot to go with the baby Dinobots.
They probably have enough left in stock to do that.
Yeah, it's a premier edition Grimlock.
Oh my god.
They still have some.
But it is a new head sculpt. They confirmed that because I couldn't tell from the previous images. And it is a new sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sword is new because he only had one sword in the last night. He still has his two like daggers that go on his back. But instead of having the two swords, they made a new mold for the one sword he has. And then there's one thing I noticed. The rest of the figure, they said that it's totally the same and it's just repainted, just the new head. But his thighs are different.
Yeah, they are.
Because the thighs have like a single gap in them here that I'm like, yeah, there.
I think that I think the thighs might be simplified.
Yeah, the thighs have, they have a hole instead of that gap that goes all the way out. Like it, they,
yeah, I noticed
filled
that
part of it in yesterday. So it was weird, but I like the mini Dinobots.
I suspect they made the thighs a single piece because I think on the Premier Edition one, it's two pieces, the red outer piece and the black inner thigh, I think.
I can't tell if the black is, I want to say it's one piece. The black is painted on the side, at least. On the back, I can't tell. I think it's actually all red plastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's weird then that they would just randomly change that one
thing. I know, that's what, it's so weird. But the Drift looks like a brand new toy because that's how different the paint is. They made it actually look like how he does in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is almost inverting his colors.
It's interesting, though, because we did have an Amazon listing for a Drift, which we assume is Studio Series because that makes the most sense in context. So either Amazon is also going to be carrying this at some point, or there's going to be a separate release of Drift, maybe without the mini Dinobots, as another Studio Series product.
Could maybe be using the new head on the Bugatti body.
I don't think we're going to see the Bugatti since there's vehicle licensing concerns with that. You know, if they were going to continue the Bugatti relationship, they would have had that still be in the last night instead of changing it to the Mercedes.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to see that come back. But we might see Drift come out again in Studio Series in a different format.
Or maybe
again, probably Siege. Just with,
I hope it's actually a retool of the Punch Counterpunch and its generations Drift and Deadlock. That'd be really cool. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, they don't have many options for that mold, and I mean that could definitely be a possible one. There's
that just, or Point Blank. Those are basically your options.
Yeah,
I mean, Point Blank seems like a better choice because they could release Point Blank's Target Master as a Battle Master then.
True, like, but Drift is a character that people know. So but there's no
one,
that.
But no one cares.
But do they care?
Yeah, there's. I was gonna say there's a reflector in the main line. Never mind.
And the other thing mentioned, I don't see this in the notes, so I'll just say it, is the movie masterpiece Bumblebee, the VW Bumblebee, is available for pre-order on Amazon now.
Yes, it is. It is.
And it's a little bit cheaper than most places, I think, like $10, I believe.
I think it's the same price. I think it's $89.99.
No, Amazon has it for $79, I think.
$79
Yep, exactly. Yeah, okay. It's $10 lower.
That's what I'm just wondering if and when I get the deluxe, is it really worth getting the masterpiece for? I mean, it's
up to you. If you like masterpieces, then yes.
Yeah. It'll be a little bigger.
Yeah.
Because that Studio Series VWB is actually, I think, even smaller than the Studio Series Camaro.
Oh.
It's smaller than Jazz by a little bit. Oh. Or the same size. It's either a little bit smaller or about the same.
Man, if that was not coming with those Dino cassettes.
Yeah, that's because I've got that worked out too. So I'll be having two of that mold. So
yeah, I'm avoiding the regular retail Volkswagen Bumblebee. I'm just gonna stick with the exclusive version because I don't need to have that twice. I don't think, and the gold one looks better anyway. Okay, so with New York Comic Con behind us now, let's move into the big powered news, which is that we're getting Legends Big Powered.
Okay, see, this news is the only reason I'm here this week, because I want to talk about this.
I kind of assumed that was the case.
This is amazing. This is weird. This is unexpected. Hasbro, if you want to know what I want, this is exactly what I want. I don't need battle damage. I don't need, you know, over detailed stuff. I don't need 5 Optimus Primes in a line. I need something that we haven't gotten before or in like 30 years. This is amazing.
So I wouldn't rule out us getting this since we got Lyokaiser.
I don't care if
and they didn't. So
I don't care if Hasbro gets this or not. I am throwing money at this. Okay, yeah. Like somebody is getting my money for this.
And just in case for anyone who doesn't know, Big Powered is based on characters from Transformers Zone, Diatlas, Sonic Bomber, and Roadfire. That they combined to form a giant city because Roadfire and Sonic Bomber were basically they had MicroMaster base modes. And Diatlas was the larger of the three and had a base mode as well that you could connect. And then they could form a train kind of thing that was called Big Powered. So that's what this is homaging.
How much is that going to cost?
Ooh, I don't care. I do not care.
Well, okay, so it's a leader class and 2 deluxes. So a leader class would be about 8,500 yen. Deluxes typically would be about 3,500. So you're looking at probably a 15,000 yen product here.
About 150 US, give or take.
Depends on the exchange rate, but yeah, it's a good rule.
And who's going to be selling it? You know, what's the outlet?
Well, you know, the same outlet it is every night, trying to take over the world. Wait, no.
nice.
No, I'm sure, you know, Big Bad Toy Store and everybody, and it'll probably come in around $150.
And it will be mine. Oh yes,
me too.
It will be mine.
Okay,
Matt, when you say that, you need to sit back and steeple your fingers together and do it like so that way it carries a little more gravitas.
I don't know if I need this just because I have no affiliation with Zone.
Well, that's fine. I'll have yours.
Don't facepalm, Dawn. I don't want this either.
No, I mean, it's just,
like a lot
I mean,
of people
just
want Diatlas.
I mean, it's just like Matt said. We're finally out of 84, 85, 86, and we're getting something. This is what the Legends line was made for. Obscure, unique, you know.
Japanese.
Yeah, it's like
this raises my hopes that there's like other weird stuff that we could be getting or stuff that we thought we would be getting, like Buster and Hydra out of Darkwing and Dreadwing. Legends could totally do that, and it would make sense for their market.
Yeah, and I can't see them not turning something like that into a figure. It just makes...
But we haven't seen it yet, and I was starting to get really, really concerned. This is out of nowhere.
I can't believe we're getting this before a Lyokaiser from them, though. That just confuses me.
Well, this is a simpler thing. Okay, so this is made out of the Misfire mold, the Twin Twist mold, and the Sky Shadow mold.
Yeah. Oh, I know it's simpler, but they've had a lot more time for Lyokaiser.
So, 3 freaking amazing, fun molds.
Yeah,
they're all good toys. That's definitely a solid combination.
Yeah, the best part is, like, a year ago, I was saying, I want the Sky Shadow redecoed as Diatlas, and I'm getting it.
Yes.
Well, happy. Are you going to buy it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hell yeah.
Wow, but it's going to be so expensive.
Okay.
And worth it.
Keep in mind, though, I already have Masterpiece Beast Wars Begatron on pre-order, too, and that's even more expensive than this is going to be.
That's true.
But like some of these things, you gotta like scrape and make work. It's that important.
Yeah, and as much as I'm not thrilled about this, the fact that Matt is so happy about it warms my heart. So it's totally worth this existing just for that reason alone.
Like it had to be something completely weird like this to like reignite my excitement for this franchise.
Right.
You know, like I apologize for my existential crisis recently, but you know, like I can only get the same stuff over and over and over again so many times.
But
I needed something new.
Crisis recently. I mean, come on.
True.
You're not special. Yeah, no, this is really cool. And up until I saw Brunt, this was the coolest thing that had happened in the last 7 days. And then I saw Brunt and, you know, all bets were off.
Brunt just wins the year.
Now, you know, one thing is that, you know, Rodimus Supreme says he hopes that they're not headmasters.
Well, they will be.
They will be. And the thing of it is, they can call their headmasters because all these figures came with a MicroMaster counterpart because they're MicroMaster bases. So they could easily call the Titan Masters by the MicroMaster name. So that's already a given. I would say that's a given right there.
Like the Diatlas, like they could change that one to not be a headmaster,
yeah.
But the
Misfire and Twin Twist. Matter.
Yeah, the Misfire and Twin Twist are a little bit harder to do. So if they're not gonna fix them all, I doubt they're gonna fix any. So,
but here's the cool thing: they fixed the Diatlas, so it's not a Titan Master. The one for the Misfire mold is the kid from the planet they save, and for the Twin Twist mold, it's the Zone Bunny. So that's the names they give him, is the kid and the Zone Bunny.
I don't think the kid is a very trademarkable name.
Well, whatever his name was, I can't want to say John, but John was from Victory. So whatever the kid's name from Zone was, I can just see them doing that just to like, yeah, we could call him the Micromaster's name. But no, here's a kid with green hair and a flying pink Zone Bunny. Enjoy.
The kid from Zone is a lot more trademarkable. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what would be great is if this set came with capes and armor for all your Combiner Wars toys,
and the squishy organic brain for Predaking.
Yes.
Oh man!
Wait, that I didn't know about that. I just knew about the capes.
Yeah. Have you seen Zone, Eric? Have you ever seen Zone?
I've never watched all of it. I've just seen clips from it.
It's 25 minutes.
It's one episode.
I mean, like, just, oh really? I've never.
Yeah, watched it's one episode.
I've seen like 5 to 10 minutes of it max. I need to watch.
You know,
it.
I think we need a new rule on the show. No kids.
Or diecast.
Yeah, no kids.
He's a kid at heart.
or me. You know.
Oh, you're far from being a child, Don. Far from being a child.
But I have a child's spirit of imagination and
yeah, you should really give that back. That child really needs a spirit back, Don. Okay, so yeah, let's blow through the rest of the news items we have. Hopefully we can knock this out in the next 20 minutes or so. New JD Red Knight exclusive leaked. Chinese online retailer gets retool of Generations Age of Extinction Galvatron. And when I first saw this, I thought it was someone's custom.
Apparently this gained weight.
Apparently this is some kind of legit thing.
I kind of want this. I mean, I did not hate the Galvatron mold. It wasn't my favorite, and I got it cheap, which helps a lot.
It's an impressive mold.
Yeah, I mean, you know, them getting that backpack to flatten with those four spring hinges is
That worked right. That was really cool.
Yeah, it's just, I just kind of like the way this, you know, it's just a.
This is the last Bayformers character ever, probably.
We can only dream.
Studio Series could still roll something out after this.
Yeah, that's true. Although those are all loosely based on something. This is a brand new character, but I still wouldn't be surprised if Studio Series has one. Because, I mean, Shadow Raider is loosely based on Lockdown's henchmen. And the Oreo robot is really just a KSI drone redone blue because they couldn't do it red when it's Stinger's mold. You can't just repaint a figure the same color. So
I kind of want this, but I hate to see what it's going to cost.
Well, I don't know if we have any leads on how you would get hold of this. Like, I'm sure it'll be on Weibo, but that's not accessible, or not Weibo, Taobao, but that's not accessible to most people.
Sure. There's diecast.
Yeah, I might need some help getting this because I actually do want this.
Yeah, diecast will have a lucrative side business muling JD.
He already could.
he could, but you know.
I was thinking about buying a bunch of those recolored enlarged the Cindersaurs as pink. They're like in pink RC colors because I thought they're pretty cool. I think people would want them.
That'd be neat.
Slash? Are you talking about Slash? Because they knocked off because they did the Power Rangers colors for all the Dinobots, right? Not exactly, but that was the inspiration, I think.
I don't know, but yeah, they, you know, Slash is going to be basically RC, so it's kind of interesting.
Okay, so next up we have Flame Toys, Bumblebee, Star Saber, Victory Leo, and more, which were on display at New York Comic Con.
That Star Saber.
Yeah, that sure is a Gundam.
So that Bumblebee is basically Action Master Bumblebee because he has the heli pack. Is that what it's supposed to be, basically?
I mean, it's an Action Master by default because it doesn't transform. Yeah, but yeah, they added the Action Master helicopter backpack, you know, for more interest. So you totally could just look at that as being a model kit of Action Master Bumblebee if you wanted to.
Yay.
Yeah. I like the Bumblebee.
Yeah, between that and the Optimus design, I definitely like the Bumblebee a lot better.
More than meets the eye, Megatron's looking pretty nice.
Yeah, that Megatron does look pretty spiffy.
Yeah, that is pretty good looking. I don't think I'm at a point anymore where I would need to own that. But yeah, that's a really good likeness of that for anybody who actually is interested.
Yeah. MMC did a great job on theirs. The likeness is great. So, and that actually transforms.
So Megatron will probably be like Amos Toys, or I'm sorry, that's a different company, isn't it?
Yeah. No, that's just a model kit.
It's a model kit. Okay, yep. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
is it a model kit, or is it a model kit, or is it one of the figures like the Drift and Tarn?
No, it's not Drift or Tarn. It says model kit right below the. Picture, but yeah, him, and there's an IDW Prime that also is a model kit. And while I would like to throw
of an IDW Prime,
and I'd like to throw out a big thank you to Anthony, who went and picked up the Nemesis Prime model kit for me. I think that was at the Bluefin booth while he was there. So thank you so much, Anthony. I greatly appreciate it. I can't wait to get that.
Oh, he said he didn't get it. He said
he got a hold of me. Don't even try.
I do,
and you can just go ahead and build that to Brian Kilby. It's fine.
yes, please.
But why is Optimus doing the Dreamwave hip thrust?
That's their aesthetic. That's because just this company likes to do.
Well, it was designed by Studio Trigger. If you've ever watched any of their anime, you know exactly why he's doing that.
Think Gurren Lagann, Don.
Can I think Galgaigar instead?
That was better. Studio Trigger. Okay.
Now, the Shattered Glass Drift is nice, because that means they're actually tapping into TFCC stuff.
Yeah, it's a shame that it just costs like about several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd be like, oh, that's great. I want that. But I just looked at it, and I was like, that's pretty, and I'll never own it.
It is pretty. It is
very. No, yeah, it looks very good. It's not a knock on how it looks whatsoever. It's just...
Also, that finished color is Tarn at the end of the gallery is also quite nice.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts me to look at that.
Oh, me too. I mean, it's nothing I would ever think of owning, but like that's a beautiful piece of plastic right there.
Oh, yeah.
That is a beautiful plastic. Okay, moving on. Let's see. We already talked about Drift. We have some Wave 2 Transformer Siege Battlemaster names from Walmart listings. So I will load that up since that was several days ago now, and I don't remember what they were. Okay, so we've got Wave 1 will be Fire Drive, Ionizer, and Blowpipe, which we learned from previous leak, essentially. So for the second wave, we have Caliburst, which is one of the legacy names they're bringing forward. Shipping with that is one I like, Smashdown, which is probably the hammer for Ultra Magnus that was kind of vaguely alluded to previously.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best name ever this year,
Pterodactyl. Yeah. If it's not a pterodactyl that turns into an axe, we have to riot.
If it's not a pterodactyl that turns into an axe, what even is the point of that name?
I don't know. It's just a robotic sounding pterodactyl. If it's not a pterodactyl, watch it be a mammoth that turns into a hammer, and then the Smashdown is a pterodactyl that turns into an axe. I would laugh.
Can I put forth another possibility?
No.
It's a pterodactyl that turns into a keyboard for Soundwave, because a guitar is also called an axe.
You know, I actually would support this outcome.
Yeah, I could see that. I could absolutely see that.
You know, it'll be some kind of weapon for Soundwave, but it also kind of looks like maybe like a keyboard / guitar kind of thing.
A keytar is the name for that.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, that's I really do kind of love that. And, you know, Smashdown, if it is a hammer, that's pretty good, too. I'm definitely not going to get all of the Battle Masters, especially since like half of them are retreading Target Master partners I have from existing toys anyway. But like some of the stuff that is in here actually does sound interesting. I'm all over Lionizer because that's a pretty cool concept. Oh, you know what? That reminds me. There was one thing from the diorama and the official reveal photos we didn't talk about. The Micromaster Airstrike Patrol, I think, the Decepticon planes.
Oh, yeah.
Their combined weapon mode is a little sword club thing, kind of like the Armada Star Saber, except yes. just with two of them yeah. instead of three.
One so of them that was looks
a nice little like, touch.
One of them has elbows and knees, which I was surprised by.
I assume to facilitate the transformation yeah. at one stage or another.
Yep.
Yeah, I was just pleasantly surprised at the purple and black one I was like, oh, that has knees, hips, elbows, and shoulders. Like, wow, that's more remarkable than any other one. Yeah, I know. I was like, that's gonna be my favorite one.
Well, going by the colors, it's probably gonna be Matt's favorite one too.
Yeah, the colors already won me over. Then I saw the articulation, I was just like, oh man.
And our final news topic is, and I'm very proud of this headline that I wrote, Toys R Us to get the Weekend at Bernie's treatment as IP holders look to cash in. We'll try to do the short version of this. When Toys R Us was liquidated, the assets went to the creditors. The creditors were expected to auction off the stuff to other parties to get their money back, which would include the intellectual property such as the trademarks, Jeffrey, all that stuff. But no, the creditors seem to have decided that, you know what, we're going to run Toys R Us instead.
I'm sure that's going to just go swimmingly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the creditors.
I can say nothing wrong with this plan.
The creditors are the major institutions that were owed money by Toys R Us as it existed before the bankruptcy procedure.
Yeah, I just didn't know if we had any like major, like, is it the bank? Is it Hasbro? Is it?
It's not the suppliers. You know, it is other just like financial institutions, not banks necessarily, but, you know, people who lend against businesses probably in hopes of cashing in like this when something goes wrong.
I mean, I don't think that it's a bad thing that they don't want to sell the name, because that means they may want to do something with it, but it also prevents someone from buying it who wants to do something with it right away.
I mean, either way, there would not be a right away kind of thing you could do with it.
Yeah.
Just getting infrastructure in place to support a revived Toys R Us would take some time, because the distribution channels are gone. Most of the properties are gone. You know, you have to line all that kind of stuff up again. You probably would not, in most cases, see a Toys R Us move back into where it started out. You know, they would have to sort out a new leasing agreements, new property purchases. There would be a whole lot of startup that would have to be done before you would get anywhere close to seeing a store opening up. And that's one of the problems that's specifically pointed out in both the Wall Street Journal and Fortune articles talking about this. There's no way they could actually get anything up and running for the holiday shopping season this year.
Yeah,
which means that in the best case, they would be running through at least half of next year before they would get into the strong sales period and actually have a chance of making some money. So if they were to go through with doing this, they would be laying out a lot of cash and have to wait a long time for that return to come back. And that does not even begin to address the problem of getting suppliers and distribution partners to actually work with a revived Toys R Us entity after everything that happened with that brand before.
Could they not do pop-up stores this year? Like, is that impossible?
I mean, we haven't...
Probably, yeah.
Again, the distribution channels are gone.
And as far as I mean, we haven't heard anything about the KB Toy pop-up stores that were supposed to be a thing for the holiday season this year.
And Party City is doing Toy Cities, right?
As yeah, the Toy Cities, the 50 or whatever Toy Cities have started opening up in various locations. There's none near me, unfortunately, because I'd actually like to go see. But considering the KB thing, which seemed to be something they were trying to plan farther out than the Toy City pop-ups, have not materialized. I don't think, you know, a sudden impromptu Toys R Us pop-up thing happening, even just a few cities, is something that would be very likely, even if they did have like distribution paths already in place.
Yeah, I used to work for Circuit City. I worked for them actually when they closed, and someone ended up buying that name. And every once in a while, I hear something about a Circuit, you know, an actual like store opening back up, not in the same capacity that it was, but, you know, like a little mall store where you order stuff online and maybe they sell some stuff in the store. And I've never seen anything actually materialize. And that's been 9-10 years now.
Yeah, Tiger Direct bought the name.
Closed. Yeah,
it was Tiger
like,
Direct.
Okay, so like my take on this, the best thing that someone could do with the Toys R Us IP at this point is to basically license it to someone who's already got like online market infrastructure in place. Basically do the same thing Hasbro does with Hasbro Toy Shop, but, you know, make it be Toys R Us and have most of their business be online sales, and then, like, you know, go around to malls and do little closet stores in malls for a little bit of a brick and mortar presence, like a new KB Toys kind of thing. You know, you would not ever have the big super toy store thing be a thing again, but you could bring the brand back and have it be viable in some sense and have online and physical retail space, even if in a fairly limited capacity. Like that, more than trying to completely remake the previous business model, I think would be a much more viable plan for them to have. Now, what they ultimately end up doing is still way up in the air, because at this point, I think all that's happened is they've canceled the auctions for the Toys R Us assets that they were expected to be selling to get their money back out. So anything else that develops from this is pretty nebulous at this point.
The only thing I want to say on this is, of course, all of us have mixed feelings about this because, you know, while we're all happy to see Toys R Us come back in some fashion, we can't forget about all the people that was put out of work.
Yeah, exactly.
And then seemingly, oh, by the way, fooled you! And then they're going to reopen in some fashion. So I hope that whatever physical stores manifest, whether it's kiosks and malls, small strip centers, whatever the case may be, previous Toys R Us employees are at least given a chance to be back, you know, if they want to come back, or at least the offer is made to them to try to, you know, if they haven't found work or they want it as a second job, that they're given some kind of, again, it's not the fairest thing in the world. And if you stop and think about it too much, it is kind of a crap thing to do, to close everything and then like, well, we're just going to reopen the stores, but you ain't got no stuff. So there's a problem with that. So, but I do hope that the employees that do want to go back, or at least want to work there again for either financial reasons, you know, nostalgic reasons, whatever the case may be, convenience where they live reasons, I hope that whatever powers that be behind Toys R Us does consider the previous employees as part of the restructuring.
It'd be nice if the employees from the previous Toys R Us just got all the severance they were owed.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, well, I'm not shooting.
I've heard that a fund is being developed toward that end, but not anywhere near the amount of money they're actually supposed to be receiving for, based on the time that they worked for the company.
Yeah, it's like we talked about this when Toys R Us was closing. There was a sign on one of the doors. I think all y'all saw this sign through the various social medias. You know, dear customers, please be aware that while you're getting really great deals on products, over 30,000 of us are losing our jobs. So please show some consideration to the associates. Thank you. Yeah. So that pretty much sums it up right there, which is just something to keep in mind when all this is unfolding.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a cynical take on this where it's like, okay, we've discharged all these debts that were outstanding, and basically the company is almost free and clear now if we want to revive it. So let's just go into business for ourselves, you know.
Wait and see. That's all we can do at this point. Between this and the KB, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, whatever comes of this, it's not going to be the Toys R Us we knew. And, you know,
it could be okay.
As nostalgic as we all might be for the experience of going to Toys R Us for all of our lives, we should not expect to have anything remotely like that come back. Yeah. And we shouldn't be, encouraging or looking to jump right back onto that if it does come about.
Basically, Transformers Generation 2, Toys R Us Generation 2, just not as awesome.
Except Generation 2 was awesome.
Yeah, but Toys R Us Generation 2 may not be as awesome as...
Well, yeah, but then your analogy falls apart.
I just survived a Massey attack and having my cat screech out the window at some phantom creature.
Yes, Don, we were there.
Yeah, we lived through that too.
Yeah, imagine how I feel sitting less than a foot away from him. And he
sounded like he was stuck in something.
That's what I thought. I was worried.
He got hurt.
He was just laying there. He had his paw wrapped up in some of the cables, but it was just like him laying his paw, like, and when he was when he got up and started screaming, he stepped into some cables, but he wasn't actually caught or anything that I could tell. So I don't know. Anyway,
that was almost 35 minutes ago. I don't know how long you're going to keep milking this for, Don.
Right.
Life goes on, okay?
Yes. No, I know.
Speaking of life going on, this segue is going to go nowhere. Since it's time to thank Amazon for the little bit of money it throws back to pay Brian Kilby's podcasting bills. Brian's not here with us this week, but I'm sure he'd like us to mention this. You can go to tfradio.net/Amazon and from there do all of your normal Amazon shopping, and anything you buy will send a little bit of money back our way to keep the lights on, to pay for Kilby's Skype out credits, to do things like calling Anthony and sometimes Diecast when they're at events doing coverage, when we have our all day live coverage like for Toy Fair, which is one of our favorite things. And the ability to do that and talk to people who are on site is really valuable to us, and you can help make that happen by going and doing your regular shopping at Amazon through tfradio.net/Amazon. It won't cost you anything more. It actually takes money away from Amazon, although a lot less than it used to. So it's really a win-win for everybody. tfradio.net/Amazon. And also, go visit our t-shirt store at tfradio.net/shirts with all kinds of cool designs done by our own John DeLuna, with more hopefully coming at some point if we can ever get that sorted out.
And maybe if you use Amazon enough, we'll start a talk show with the prank calling that you mentioned before. I'm just saying, it's a good idea.
Oh, that'll end well.
We'll have the credits. We'll have the credits.
Yeah, except it's going to end up being just like every week we prank call Don or Chris Triplett. In between them.
I mean,
it would still be entertaining.
Yeah.
They'd forget 2 weeks later.
Yeah, Triplett's like a goldfish. Okay, so since we don't have Rob here with us this week, Matt, could I convince you to do What's on T-Formers for us?
Sure, let me scroll down to the show notes.
That's fine.
Let's see. Okay, so on T-Formers this week, Transformers trading card game, unboxing, booster opening, and overview.
Rob did that.
Oh, I forgot I got one of those.
We haven't done what we got this week yet.
Oh, okay.
We may get there.
We'll do that.
Hey, right. I saw those for the first time in stores at Target today.
For the benefit of the chat audience who's still with us, what we got this week is basically going to be post-show for this week. So after we wrap up the show proper, we'll go into that and then probably cut the stream off after that.
Yep.
So that people who need to go to bed can go to bed. So if you're interested, stick around with us for that. And if not, then after we go through the podcast plugs and social media stuff and everything, you can go ahead and head off. Anyway, Matt.
Also on T-Formers is the Bumblebee Movie Boombox promotional Transformers toys box set.
God, I want that. So amazing. It looks so good.
That's a lot of Bumblebee in that box.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, so both of those were promotional by Hasbro to do some coverage on. So there's Rob's unboxing and overview of the set on YouTube, and we've got photos of the Bumblebee Movie Boombox on T-Formers.
And the last thing in the notes here is leaked from Cybertron, the grayscale test shot of Bumblebee, the movie studio series, and Deluxe Dropkick.
I'm excited for that toy. I wish they actually would show more of the test shots in these leaked from Cybertron bits rather than just like the close-in cuts.
Because I mean, they like, showed you that his Dropkick's entire torso is clear plastic. They show you that.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
It'll probably be okay, but still, it wasn't the most.
It'll probably be fine.
I wasn't.
What's the worst that can happen?
Thrilled by that.
I know, right?
I mean, you can't even tell from all the other pictures we've gotten before. No one had the slightest clue until they posted that picture. So they could have just not posted that picture, and no one would have known until we got the toy in hand.
Quite possibly. All right, Don. What's on the network this week?
What's on the network this week? Transform Squadron Episode 2, Great Value BotCon. On this episode, Rob discusses Microman Soft Vinyl, Walmart Transformer reissues, and Bumblebee Movie Energon Igniter Power Series figures. Also, Rob asks the immortal question, just what do you call a glow-in-the-dark color anyway?
Now, does he mean the color of glow-in-the-dark plastic when it's not glowing, or the color that it glows in the dark?
It looks white when it's not glowing, and it's green when it glows. I just call it scare glow. You know, work for email.
I kind of like scare glow just as the name of a color. It's very Crayola.
It is. RPG Lesson Learned, Episode 74, Mummy's the Word, Pathfinder. On this week's episode, a pocket of undead have awakened beneath Sandpoint.
Wow, what a comprehensive summary there. Kilby.
It makes you want to learn more, so you'll go listen to it.
Totally.
It's shrewd, pinpoint laser.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I like the summary for Transform Squadron Episode 2 better than the RPG Lessons Learned summary. No, one makes it seem like it's full of all kinds of interesting content. The other is just like, well, this is a thing that happened. But then you probably remember how I summarized that one episode of Star Trek for 100 episodes. If I can make it sound any crazier, I did. And as always, you can find the show notes for this episode and the episode itself at tfradio.net/591. We have our voicemail line where you can leave us a voicemail or send text messages. And sometimes we actually will respond to them during the show if we remember to. That is 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268. You can find me on the internet at playwithphotography.com. That's the website where I post my photographic work, and also I write occasional articles and other topics about photography, camera stuff, and sometimes just toy ramblings, although we haven't really got to that point yet. But hopefully I will have some more updates on that soon. It's just not been very conducive to doing photography for the last several days. You can also find me on social media at ChrisRTXV on Twitter. I've actually got quite a bit of updates to my sales list, which is in one of my Twitter moments, which you can find at twitter.com/ChrisRTXV. So definitely check that out. I've got some interesting stuff up there. Matt, where can people not find you on the internet?
Well, you cannot find me at BKilby on Twitter or at ThatJohnD on Twitter.
Perfect. Everybody should follow RoboRob Springer on Twitter and visit zonebase.org.
And at FlailThroughs on Twitter.
Yes, very good. And also check out Rob's Patreon at patreon.com/FlailThroughs, I think, where for the $2 level, you can become a patron and also request from him feature videos on particular Gundams in the games he plays. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4 EBR, and the finest emergency rooms available.
Well, as long as it's not the emergency vet, because we don't want anything bad to happen to Massey. You'll live. The cat doesn't know any better. Diecast.
You can follow me trying to transform figures at tfradio.net/reviews, and yes, also on Twitter at Diecast2 and on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Jason, you're not on video, but where do people find you?
And I'm not on video, not because I'm playing Mega Man 11. I'm not on video because there was a lot to click. No, really, I'm not playing that, I swear. You can find me tonight, at Jason S. Kirk.
Tonight, the role of John DeLuna will be played by Jason Kirk.
If there wasn't 10,000 pictures to scroll through tonight, I might have considered that, but the view of my camera the view of my camera was literally me staring at the monitor as I flipped through. I was like, I'm just going to show everyone else tonight.
Yeah. So, Eric, what are you doing on the internet?
You can find me at Twitter.
You doing on the internet? There are laws about this.
Sound endangerment.
But three L's, two R's for at Melvar. I'm just saying, you should definitely tweet at me there. No, or you could tweet at me at Eric Crowbar.
That's all right. Just remember, Eric, it's only a couple weeks till TFCon.
I was thinking. Okay.
You can also find me at Aramis Pride. I'm on Instagram if that's your thing. I post my desk bots there too. I've been doing Inktober too. Here's my Cyclonus for today.
You've been doing Inktober's well. I don't know why you don't think you're nice. Good. You're pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know how to draw stuff real. I can draw cartoons. I can't draw stuff real.
That's all. I mean, you know, those are skills that you have to develop over time.
Yeah. And then also Eric Crownover on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel now. Look at me go.
Wow.
I do random videos, just Transformers news, not reviews. I don't have the time nor the effort to do that. And then my podcast network is Nerdy Geek Talk. Anywhere you listen to this, except the website, because Brian will love to point that out. Anywhere else you listen to this podcast, you can find Nerdy Geek Talk and listen to all my different shows on there. So, yeah.
And as I pointed out, in a few short weeks, you can find me, Diecast, and Eric at TFCon in Chicago.
Woo! Eat a lot of Portillo's.
Yeah. And two of those three may be coming back as well, so we'll have to wait and see.
I was going to say, why isn't Diecast coming back?
Oh, there's all kinds of reasons for Diecast to not come back.
it all depends on how good JT is feeling by that point.
Well, the hotel bill's under his name, so.
So I'm going to have to stay there and, like, make beds and stuff.
Sounds about right. Okay, well, that has been Radio Free Cybertron, episode 591. Live audience, stick around. We'll be doing what we got in post-show. And everybody else, we will see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Okay, Matt, why don't you go ahead and talk about what you got, since you only have a little bit.
All right.
Do you have a lot of off-topic stuff you could talk about? That'd be fine.
Sadly, no. I try to save that for when Kilby's here because I know it annoys him.
Yeah.
So since he's not here, nothing really. But I finally got my Fire Star Star, whatever you want to call her.
Did you Amazon that, or did you find one local?
I did not Amazon it. I ordered it from Toy Dojo before it even went up on Amazon, and I just went ahead and kept the orders because I wasn't in a super hurry because I'm just kind of
That's understandable.
Questioning my love for Transformers lately.
At least they're super mini plaw.
Yes, and they are lovely and fun. Voltron is actually my least favorite of the ones so far. He does not hold together as well as the others. It's a little distressing.
I'm trying not to buy the Shogun Megazord, and it's like I'm just
no,
I just,
no,
I'm,
Don. I'm just, you're doing it wrong. You're supposed to try to buy the Shogun
Megazord. I mean, I'm just so terrible at putting these kits together and stuff. I don't care.
You know, I saw a picture on Twitter of I think it was someone in Japan who got an extra one that actually painted the white one pink. To reflect the Power Ranger toys.
You know, I figured they would do like a revision wave or at least just sell that one by itself. It's just a repaint for the people that wanted to like...
It's a Japanese product, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the Japanese market, Don.
I know, but I'm just saying if they wanted to make an exclusive for it for, you know... I'm just saying it's money left
Again,
on the table.
No context.
Money left on the table.
And the other thing I got this week was I was wandering around Walmart the other day and I found the Constructicon.
Damn it!
Gift set.
Damn it! I cannot find one yet.
It was the only one they had. They had a space and a shelf tag for Hot Rod, but there was nothing there but Devastator in all of his glory, in all of his G1 glory.
He turned around?
I can do that.
Oh,
that's very authentic, isn't it?
Yeah. Diecast, you're close. Man, I want that. Like, I don't have an interest in G1 toys, but just for some reason, seeing it in package, like on shelves and pictures, it's like, no, I will buy that.
You understand the appeal of a gift set now. Gift sets are something that just is not done that often anymore. And when you, it's something special about a gift set.
Yeah, the gift sets are the only ones I have any interest in. Like, I don't need the mini bots again. I don't need Hot Rod again. But if they're, because you know me, if they do combiners, I'm there for it.
So. Yeah, you are.
It's you know, we've all got most of us have the legacy book, and it's like, just there's something about this G1 art, the design, the packaging. It's just,
wait, did no one ask them at NYCC about the G1 reissue line?
You know, I thought they were supposed to be talking about that during the live stream panel, but since none of us got to watch that, who knows?
I thought they mentioned they had a G1 reissue line.
I want to say that Bumblebee got, like, a different Bumblebee was shown for something. I saw something on Twitter that was about a new Bumblebee from the reissue line, I believe. I could be wrong, although I thought he was already in it.
Hallmark ornament Bumblebee.
Yeah. Never mind. Yep, that's what I'm thinking of. Never mind. Totally different.
Because I was thinking, okay, the reissue hubcap.
Since Chris mentioned the Super Mini Plaws, I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but the Super Galaxy Mega is up for pre-order on Big Bad Toy Store.
Yeah, as a single set too, right?
Yeah. Yes. There is naturally a markup. So, but these things sell out on the specialty sites really quick. So if you want to go ahead and at least get like a safety pre-order in at Big Bad Toy Store, that's what I did. So,
yeah, eventually they will probably turn up on Amazon through direct Bluefin distribution of the localized ones, which will be a little cheaper, probably.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Because I really do want to get that. Love those robots.
I hope they do a Mega Voyager, but my God, I can't imagine anybody trying to put any kind of articulation into a Mega Voyager toy. That's like not unlike trying to make an articulated Direno. It's just not going to be easy.
Yeah, but the cool thing is,
it's not. You know, so many segmented sections. So many.
But we're also getting Galgagar Super Mini Pla with Big Volfog and Mike Sounders. That's like awesome, right there.
Yeah, these little mini kits are really fun to do. They're easy. There's no glue or anything involved. Everything fits together like it's supposed to. Like I said, the only thing I've had a problem with is Voltron's, the shoulders on the Black Lion. The joint tension is not quite there, and it wants to come off a little bit. But
yeah. Well, Matt, do the stickers actually make the figures look like they do in the pictures? Or is that like, you know, they've done work on the model kits and the stickers won't get you to that point?
Well, hold on. I'll grab one for you.
That's just what I'm afraid of. I'm spending $60 for that Shogun Megazord, and it looks great, but I'm not sure if out of the box it would look as good as it does in the pictures without knowing how to do a lot of fine detail work. Oh, and now that's just out of the box.
Yeah, I mean the stickers are applied, but yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not, you know, because I guess I'm thinking of the old kits where take the toothpick and, you know, put all the eyes were stickers and stuff like that.
Oh, well, yeah. Like the lion's eyes are totally stickers.
Yeah.
The stickers are numerous and small, but yeah, the whole shoulder kind of wants to come off the Black Lion. This is the only model kit one of these model kits I've ever had a problem with.
And the little four polish would fix that right up too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a deal breaker. It's just the first issue I've run into with one of these kits so far. But yeah, I love these. They're fun.
I might get the Shogun Megazord after all. Depends on some factors.
Don, did you get anything this week?
Yes, I did. My Target did the reset, and so did my local Walmart, and we finally got some new stuff in after about 3 months and not finding crap. I don't have them in with me, but I did find, of all things, Legends Dragonstorm from the last night and Legends Hound, which I had not seen at all before. I found those. Now, I wanted to post about all this stuff on Twitter because I was happy to find it. But, you know, spoilers. But I picked up reissue Starscream. I don't know if I opened him up or not because he looks so good in package, like Devastator.
I assume you have G1 Starscreams already.
I do. Mine was secondhand. It's complete, but it's secondhand.
Yeah.
But it just looks so good in the package, like as it is. I kind of just want to keep them there.
Hot Rod, who is packaged backwards.
Yeah, that would have been cool stuff.
Yeah, I may pick up Starscream too, just because Seeker and like maybe if they do Thundercracker.
Yeah, I mean, like in this case, Don, I don't think anybody could blame you for getting that Starscream and just leaving it in the box to have as, you know, a simulation of a boxed example of Starscream.
And besides, they've gone with the long missiles. The long safety missile, so it would not look as good in robot mode as the original G1 Starscream. Mm-hmm. And big shout out to our friend Barricade64 for telling me about an upcoming eBay coupon code. I went ahead and was able to hold off. It's already passed now, but I went ahead and used it. I've got about 12 things coming in total that I went ahead and bought because I worked 25 hours. I worked about 25 hours in 2 days. So I had a little overtime coming, so I used that for some figures. But I picked, thanks to the Amazon link from tfradio.net, I went ahead and got the regular Bumblebee.
Oh, cool!
I do have the gold one coming, but depending on which one I like better, I may sell it because I've got the gold one coming with the Dino cassettes. And I picked up Shadow Raider because you can never have too many warriors against the Beast Planet, so you've got that. I also picked up Soundwave.
Ah, nice.
I don't plan on buying the cassette packages but
the Cobalt Sentries, Dawn?
Well, Cobalt Sentry. Sentry,
yeah. I passed on the Titans Return one, but this packaging is so neat, and it's just a really neat looking figure, and I'm going to open this eventually, but I also like the way it looks as it is now.
Yeah, I think the retools they did that actually do make it look better overall, too.
And the last thing I got was something. This is one of the things I've been putting off for a while, because Alpha Trion was not the best Titans Return mold. I liked it. I liked it to a degree.
You could say that.
You know, and I do have the Sentinel Prime, but orange. You know, that speaks a lot for giant orange shuttle. But I went ahead and got the Legends Leo Prime.
Oh, nice. Yep. Jeez, yes.
That is coupon, really pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the coupon code, he was about 45 shipped. Which is about one of the best prices that I've seen. Because it's usually 50 to 60 plus your international shipping and such. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like 69 at a store in the US. Yeah. It's just, that's such a great looking deco on this thing, and the problem with Alpha Trion, I think at least the deco and the paint kind of help cover that a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a really nice redeco.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been putting that off for a while, and I got the last one, the Silver Head. So I also picked up Marvel Legends Moon Knight because I was at a show, I was at a toy show last weekend where I met the people, Holly, Will, and Chaka from Land of the Lost. Anyone that remembers the show Land of the Lost, which was great meeting them. I missed meeting Sergeant Slaughter, but he was like just slammed with people. So I didn't have time to really go over and try to get in line for that.
Did you talk to Chaka about when the walls fell?
From Chaka. But it was great. It was great meeting because I grew up on Land of the Lost series, and that was really great. But I also picked up a Marvel Legends Moon Knight because I have no connection to the character, but it's such a great looking outfit. It's just one of them. It's one of them outfits that make you like a character, even if you have no compulsion for the character at all. So I picked that up. And I sold the build a figure part on eBay for like $9. So
build a figure wave was that in, Don?
Vulture. He had the left wing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went ahead and sold that. That's like I said, I'm gonna have some more stuff coming in. Most of my other stuff's coming from China, from the guys I usually buy my third party stuff from, so it's in transit. So I'll be showing that off over the next few weeks as everything trickles in.
Okay, I'm gonna go next because I assume Diecast has a little pile of stuff to go through so he can kind of round this out. So I was showing this off earlier, I think in pre-show. I got Shadow Raider off of Amazon last week. I'm pretty okay with this. I never had the Lockdown version because I didn't really need a version of Movie Lockdown, but this is orange and also a generic, so it's kind of clicking three or four buttons at once. And it's got a different weapon than Lockdown too. It's got the blaster that snaps over the arm, and I actually like how that worked out really well. Like when you just look at it in package and don't think about how it's going to function, it does not look like a very well-made accessory, but like that thing just tabs and clips over the fist super securely. It comes off easily. It like that really worked out well. The mold's a tiny little bit stiffer than I would probably like it to be. The posing is a little bit more restricted than it looks like it should be. But like the sculpt detailing is so nice. I love the shade of orange. There's good consistency between the painted surfaces and the plastic surfaces. That's a real big thing to get right, especially with a color like orange, where the saturation differences can really throw off the way the color looks with just a little bit of variance. And the head with the translucent visor and the green behind it, it looks really slick in person. Overall, I'm really happy with this. I have not decided yet if I'm still going to follow through with my plan to get one or maybe two more. I kind of wanted to troop build these. If I see them cheap, I probably will get at least one more. But for right now, I'm pretty good with the one I have. The other thing I got was the counterpart to Don's Soundwave there, the Bumblebee Greatest Hits set, which of course comes with a Bumblebee. This is the butterfly knife Bumblebee, which is a fun thing to do, but it is kind of a crappy little toy.
Hey, you pulled a Jason.
You will believe me, Bumblebee can fly.
Well, I mean, scientifically, they shouldn't be able to, but, what are you going to do? Of course, the real stars of the package is the cassette guys. So there is Frenzy, which is what he's called on the package. So this is Frenzy. Shut up. Frenzy, Buzzsaw in more like G1 toy colors than the one that came out in the tail end of Combiner Wars.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty nice looking. I wasn't expecting to care about that as much, but it's actually pretty slick in person. And then there is Howlback, the one Cobalt Sentry that we're probably ever getting out of this set of molds. Now,
or any set of molds.
Well, I mean, you can always get the G1 mold ones if you really wanted to.
We have Masterpiece molds. I'm just saying.
Who cares though? Okay, fine. Some of these are, this in particular is not the best mold, but all of them are kind of showing some age a little bit, because transforming these, all of them head parts pop off. At designated failure points, of course, nothing actually broke. It all popped back together. But, I could not transform a single one of them without some limb or head or something coming off with no particular amount of force applied to it. So
that's a little disconcerting. And those molds, they haven't seen that much use. I mean, just for the run in the U.S. and the run in Japan, they've not been used that much compared to others.
Yeah, I mean, this Buzzsaw, I think, is the third run of the bird mold. Frenzy is the third run of the humanoid mold, because there was just Rumble and Rewind before that. And I guess four, if you count the Takara ones separately, which we probably should because they were Deco variants and they came out later. So I guess these are fourth runs of each of these. But even so, I wouldn't expect the tolerances to have drifted that much in that amount of time. But overall, I'm really happy to have Frenzy to complete that pair at least. We're probably never going to get an Eject to go with Rewind, which I don't think a lot of people today probably don't care about that too much.
Well, considering we don't have Steeljaw or Ramhorn either to complete the set. I mean,
well, that's just it. I mean, they've done Soundwave. Who's to say in Wave 2 or Wave 3 of Siege, we're not going to get Blaster redone. And then
we still won't get all the cassettes.
But I'm still, but they can do an Autobot cassette. They can use Howback for Steeljaw, Frenzy for Rewind, and Sun and the Laserbeak Buzzsaw for Sundor. So if they've done this, if they've done this, there's no reason they can't repackage the Blaster from Titan from Combiner Wars and give another three pack. With maybe a Stinger, I don't know if you have a Decepticon set, but another recolor of that Bumblebee mold of somebody, or maybe Clunker Bumblebee or something like that.
I think the one saving grace of this use of this Ravage mold is just that it's a really nice shade of blue. That's the only thing that could be considered one. Yes,
I was going to say it's nice, but I don't know if it's saving.
And Buzzsaw will be a good addition to my, Condor team. It'll actually look probably really good with the Takara Laserbeak that I have, come to think of it. So I think those two as a pair together will look good, and then the other Buzzsaw will just buzz off, I guess. But yeah, that's what I got this week. So, pretty decent bag. Diecast, you want to take us out with your piles?
Sure. Well, I didn't get much. First thing I got was, thanks to Hasbro, I got the Transformers Trading Cards game, which I did do an unboxing of on tfradio.net/reviews or youtube.com/RFCReviews if you want to check that out. I also got, which I purchased before I went to the event, I got the Bumblebee.
The same one they gave you.
The same one they gave me, so now I have two. And I transformed him. He's really nice. He's really small. But he felt like a large Legends almost to me. Obviously bigger than the Legends we got, but if Legends was upscaled maybe like 10%, that's what he kind of felt like. I think everything else I pretty much showed off last week. I haven't really gotten anything too new. I just transformed the Unique Toys Challenger.
How long did that take you?
Yeah, without instructions, it took me about half hour.
Oh, it's not bad.
No. So, and some of it was just because I was doing stuff wrong because I didn't look at the instructions.
Well, at least he didn't break its shoulder.
Yeah, no broken parts, so we're good. I think that's pretty much everything I got.
Oh, that was a lot faster than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
that's uncharacteristic for you. I mean, going faster than expected is not uncharacteristic for you. There's a reason we call you Blur.
There's not been a lot of stuff coming out recently.
No,
we're kind of at that lull point. I mean,
Diecast has bought everything on Taobao at this point, so
yeah. Although I do have some pencil cases and stuff coming that are Transformers related that I want to.
True sign of retail desperation.
Right. Repurpose as other things.
Yeah, although I will say that BBTS has been adding to my credit card quite a bit the last couple of weeks. Stuff keeps coming in, so someday I'll have stuff.
I have to say I'm kind of relieved that there was not like a surprise launch immediately available something for the New York Comic Con panel today. Like, it was nice to not have to get up at 10:30 and immediately spend money.
Right. It's funny because they were actually saying, they're like, oh, you can go and buy this now. I'm like, no, you can pre-order it now. Yeah.
To come out in February. It's not even like it comes out next month. Like, no, it comes out in February.
Yeah, that's kind of a long lead time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they could have waited and done this as a live launch at Toy Fair then.
It's probably because they have a real one for Toy Fair.
Probably so.
this was definitely like a last minute or like the like an exclusive. They were just like, how can we get this out? And they were just like, well, I guess if we give it to Entertainment Earth, you know, we can just announce it here. Like, I don't think they cared about it very much. It's my guess, but
wow, cynical.
I mean, I still want it, but I'm just saying that I don't think that they cared about it because I don't think they'd be like, oh, yeah, we're so excited about this product. You can go pre-order it now to come out in February. Like, what?
Yeah, February was definitely like, I mean, that's Toy Fair time. Like,
I know.
Yeah. And that's the next time we'll have any news to talk about. Okay, so that's going to do it for our little impromptu post show, what we got this week. So we're going to cut off the stream here. Live audience, thank you for sticking with us this week. We will see you guys next week at the usual time, and probably Brian will be back with us. Maybe.
If you're lucky.
Maybe we'll do it on Friday next week. You just don't know anymore.
Maybe it'll be Tuesday.
We can.
For XD, it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
I wish we could cut the stream off on a dime so that like Jason could just flip the switch right then.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999. 100% girlfriend free since 1999.